We're doing the Rambam introduction to Mishnah. We're holding page Lamed in the Rambam La'am editions. The Rambam has explained to us the tradition going from Yehoshua till Rebbe, and the Rambam explained to us the uniqueness of Rebbe and how exceptional Rebbe was in his traits, in his understanding, in his mastery of the language. Now the Rambam is going to explain us what exactly Rebbe did. The Rambam is going to explain what is included in the oral law and the breakdown of the oral law. And after Rabbeinu HaKodosh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, gathered the different opinions, the different things, Hechel Lechaber HaMishnah, he started composing the Mishnah. Shehi Cholelet Perush Kol HaMitzvot HaKtuvot BaTorah, that the Mishnah encompasses the explanation of all the mitzvot written in the Torah. Mehen, now the Rambam is going to break it down. Some of the things the Mishnah includes, the oral law includes, are Kabbalot Mekubalot Mipi Moshe Alav HaShalom. Things that we have on tradition going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, may he rest in peace. Umehen, and some of the oral law is Deot Hotziun B'derech HaSvara. They are things that our sages derived. They used their analysis, their logic. Then alein machloket, and no one argues on them. There are derivations, the things that our sages thought that were derived. Umehin, and some of the oral law are deot, things that they thought out, things that they derived. Shenafla alein machloket, that there was a machloket, there was a disagreement ben shtei asbarot, between two different ways of thinking, two different analyses. Vechatav otan bemachloketehen, and Rebbe recorded the two different approaches. Ploni omer kach, Rebbe wrote in the Mishnah, so and so says such, ufloni omer kach, and so and so says such. Vafilu haya echad cholek al rabim, and even if you had an individual, he had one opinion, and the majority had another opinion, nichtavim divrei echad v'divrei rabim, Rebbe would record the singular opinion and the majority opinion. Vnasa davar ahu, l'inyanim moilim me'od, and Rebbe did this, he recorded the individual's opinion because it would serve us in good stead. It was something that was very beneficial to us. V'nizkiru b'mishnah be'eduyot, and the Mishnah in Eduyos explains why. The Mishnah in Eduyos says, why do we record the individual's opinion? Because there are times in halacha where we have to rely on the individual's opinion, even though he's the individual against the masses. So in general, we go with the opinion of the rabbim, of the masses. But there will be instances where we can use that opinion halachically. So by recording that opinion, Rebbe gave us more leeway halachically. True, if you come and ask a rabbi what the halacha is, he'll tell you the halacha is what the masses. But there will be instances where we need that minority opinion to rely on. And so when Rebbe recorded it, Rebbe gave us a certain fluidity within halacha that the halacha can adapt to certain circumstances because the halacha has on tradition that there was more than one opinion here. V'ani eskerem, the Rambam says, I'm going to explain why we needed the minority opinion. Aval acharei ikar gadol lo hayiti lezocho. But first, I need to explain a very important principle that I thought now is the worthwhile time to mention. V'hu. And the first principle the Rambam says that we have to know, and that's the great principle, shiuchal adam lomar, a person could say, im em perushei ha-Torah, kefi asher yasadnu, mekubalim mipi Moshe, kmo she'amarnu midivrehem. A person could say, if the explanations of the Torah, as we've established, they are on tradition going back to Moshe, as we said from the words of our sages, kol ha-Torah ne'emru chlalotav fratotav v'diktukav b'sinai. The whole Torah, with the generalization and the details, and all the specifications were given at Sinai. Imken, ma'ilu halachot hayichidot she'ne'emar ben halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai. If so, that we say the whole Torah was given at Sinai, why do we single out certain halachos and we say these halachos are halacha l'Moshe m'Sinai? These are on tradition for Moshe from Sinai. Didn't we just say all of the Torah is for Moshe from Sinai, written law and oral law? And this, as the Rambam, is a fundamental principle that you have to make sure you understand correctly the depths of this principle. The who, and it is the following: the explanations that we have on tradition from Moshe, en machloket b'em b'shum panim. There is no argument in Alachal Moshe Mesinai, says the Rambam. Sharei me'az v'adata lo matzano machloket shenafla b'zman u'nazmanim. For from the time of Moshe till now, we've yet to find the machlokes in any time in history. Mimot Moshe v'ad Ravashi, from the times of Moshe till the end of the Gemara Ravashi, we don't find any machloket. Even though Moshe was 2448, and Ravashi was over 1,000 years later, right? Nonetheless, we find no machloket with regard to Alchal Moshe Sinai ben Chachamim, Shiomar Echad. We find no machloket among the sages that one sage is going to say, Hamotzin Chavro Yotziu Eteino. You know, if someone takes out someone's eye, we take out his eye, because the verse says, Shenemar Ein Bein, an eye for an eye. V'yomar Hasheni, and the other rabbi says, No, I know Elachofer Bilvad Shechav Latet. No, the Torah means he has to pay, but it doesn't mean literally we take out the eye. We don't find such an argument. All the rabbis agreed that when the Torah said an eye for an eye, it didn't mean literally. Another example, the Rambam says, "V'lo matzanu ganken machloket, nor do we find an argument b'mashamar katuf p'ri etzadah." The Torah tells us on Sukkis, take a fruit from a tree, hadal. That's whatever hadal means. The rabbis discuss what the word hadal means. But nonetheless, even though they have different explanations what the word hadal means, we don't find that shiomar echad shu etrog. We don't find that one rabbi says that's an esrog, that's a sitran. V'yomar echad shu chabushim. And another rabbi is going to say it's a crab apple. Orimonim. Or another rabbi is going to say maybe it's pomegranates. Ozulator, some other fruit. The Torah doesn't say which fruit we take on Sukkot. The Torah says pri etz hadar. And although the rabbis will discuss what the word hadar teaches us, how the word hadar identifies the correct fruit, but everyone agrees which fruit it is. Velo matzanu gan ken machloket be'etz avot. And the Torah says we have to take this branch that's encompassed with leaves. We don't find the machloket among the sages, shuadas, that it is the hadas tree. No one's going to say it's not hadas. Ve'lo matzanu machloket b'divrei ha'katuv v'katzota et kapa. And when the Torah says, if a woman sees a fight between two men, and she comes to help her husband and grabs the other guy in his private part, so the Torah says, cut off her hand. So we have on tradition that doesn't mean cut off her hand. It means make her pay for the damage that she inflicted to that person. So no one says that when the Torah says cut off her hand, shehu kofel. No one disagrees that you have to pay. No one comes and says, oh, well, the Torah says cut off her hand. No, we have on tradition that's not that it means she must pay for the damage she inflicts. And no one comes and says, no, maybe it means something else. So the Rambam is giving us examples of situations where our logic would not go with our tradition. The simple understanding of the verses leaves room for arguments. And nonetheless, being that we have this tradition, these are good examples of instances that there is no argument over what the verse means. Ve'lo b'ma she'amar katuv v'atish kohen ki techel liznot b'esh tisaref. Nor does anyone argue when the Torah says that if the daughter of a kohen is unfaithful to her husband, then she gets a death penalty of fire. She'zo agzera enanu ligzorta, ela im tiyeh she'tish al kol panim. The Torah doesn't say that she has to be married. But we have on tradition that it's talking about a married daughter of a kohen who goes with someone else. Literally, you read the verse, it says, if she starts going with other men, she gets the death penalty. We have on tradition, no. She only gets the death penalty if she was engaged, if she was married, and then she went with other men. But if she was a single woman, what she did is wrong, it's improper, it's forbidden, it's prohibited, but she doesn't get the death penalty. Doesn't say it in the Torah, and yet all the rabbis agree on it. You don't find anyone arguing. The simple reading of the Torah is, any daughter of a kohen who has improper relationships gets the death penalty. We have on tradition that this is only a reference to a married daughter of the kohen, and you don't find anyone arguing that. So too, when the Torah tells us that if there is a girl that it's found that she isn't a virgin, so the literal reading of the verse is, if her husband marries her and discovers she isn't a virgin, she gets a death penalty. But we have on tradition that that's not what it means. It means that if they're married, and he discovers that from the time that they were married, she was unfaithful to him, and that's why she isn't a virgin now, so then she gets a death penalty. But just because she's not a virgin doesn't mean she'll get the death penalty. It's only if the husband can prove that from the period that they did kiddushin, that they started that she was legally betrothed to him from the period of Kiddushin to the time that they actually wed, that he took her into his home from during that period, if she went with someone else, because then she was legally married, right? We do Kiddushin and Nisuin today, we do it all together. We engage the girl, marry her under the chuppah, we do everything 1, 2, 3. In ancient times, the custom was they'd first do Kiddushin, legally they'd become married, the first stage of marriage, and then they'd wait a year before he'd take her into their house, before they'd get together as husband and wife and make the wedding celebration. During that period, she's married. During that period, she's mekudeshet. She's engaged to him, and when the Torah says, if he finds her that she isn't a virgin, she gets a death penalty, the Torah is talking that he can prove that she was this faithful during the time she was married to him. And that's why when the time comes that they're supposed to have the wedding and get together, she's not a virgin. And it doesn't say that in the Torah. The Torah simply says, if he marries her, discovers she isn't a virgin, she gets a death penalty. And yet, lo matzanu chulek ba mimoshe v'adata, we find no one arguing from the time of Moshe till now. Al Misha Amar, no one argues against the one who said Shazelo Ye Elai Maitai Shetish Vidu Idimalea. No one argues on this tradition that it must be that she was a married woman and we have testimony that she went with another guy. Two things that the Torah doesn't say. The Torah simply says he finds her not to be a virgin, she gets a death penalty. We have on tradition it must be that she was this faithful after Kiddushin, and B, we have to have witnesses to that effect. It doesn't say that in the Torah, and yet you find no one arguing on that. That you have to have a ve'idu edim aleha, you have to have witnesses testifying shachar kiddushin, that after the kiddushin zanta, she was this faithful be'edim, with testimony, with witnesses who saw it v'atra'a, and those witnesses have to have warned her, know that you're prohibited from doing this, and if you do, you'll get the death penalty. Doesn't say any of that in the Torah, and yet we have this on tradition. V'chaytze ve'en b'chlal ha-mitzvot, and just like this, we have throughout the mitzvot en machloket bahin. We have no argument among the sages on these matters. Shekulam perushim mekubalim mipi Moshe. That all of these explanations of the Torah, even though the literal reading of the Torah doesn't say this, the tradition we have in how to understand this is a tradition that goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Valehem al domehem amru, and with regard to these and things that are similar to them, our sages said, Kol haTorah nemru klalotah ufratotah v'diktokah misinai. All of the Torah, its generalizations and details and specifications, all were said to Moshe at Sinai. So the Rambam saying it boils down to these things, these explanations of the Torah that we see on tradition, we have all the way back to Moshe. Aval, afal pi shem kubalim en machloket behem, even though we have them on tradition, there's no machloket in these matters. Harei mechokhmat haTorah tuna lanu shenuchal leotzi mimena elu hapirushim bederach midrachei hasvarot vehasmachtot veharayot. But, says the Rambam, one of the ways in which the Torah works, the wisdom in the Torah, is that even though these explanations we had on tradition, so the Torah didn't have to give us any allusion to these explanations, nonetheless, we can derive these explanations using logic, using asmachta, using proofs and allusions from the verses. So the Torah did incorporate some kind of indication to this tradition that we have as to how to understand the verse.
Okay, what was that?
Was it February?
Yeah, that one that I said, the whole February, and then something like that.
Uch shetireh otam b'talmud ma'inim v'cholkin zeh al zeh b'ma'arechet ha'ayun. And when you find throughout the Talmud that the sages are delving into and arguing, and they try to bring this proof and that proof back and forth to one of these explanations, kigon ma she'amru, for example, what our sages said, b'ma'amar ha-katuv, when the verse says, peri etz hadar, on Sukkot we have a mitzvah to take this fruit from the tree that is hadar. So the Gemara says, "Ulay yeh rimonim uchabushim uzulatam." Maybe the Torah meant that we have to take a pomegranate or a crab apple or something else. Ad sheviu ha'alav, until the sages brought proof, mimash nemar pri etzadar, deriving from the words pri etzadar. V'amun, our sages said, "Etz shetam mitzofu yoshavin." How do you know which tree the Torah meant? It says pri etz, fruit tree, meaning the tree itself has to be like the fruit, that you have a tree that the tree has the same flavor as the fruit, and that is the Yemenite esrog. The Yemenite esrog, if you taste the tree and you taste the fruit, it has the same taste. So our sages said, that's one proof that when the Torah said Pri Etz Hadar, it meant an esrog. And another one said, I'll bring you a different proof that the Pri Etz Hadar means the esrog, because it means Pri Hadar. Hadar could mean that lives, and Hadar could mean that's glorified. So over here he's interpreting it, it's the fruit of a tree that is living, that remains living, ba'ilanot, and the tree is mishanan shana, from year to year. The Yemenite esrog, if you leave it growing on the tree, doesn't fall off the tree, it just grows bigger and bigger from year to year. So that's a singular fruit. You can leave it on the tree, and even after the season, throughout the year, it keeps growing. It can grow beyond 1 year. Yeah. So the second rabbi brought a proof. How do we know it's an esrog? Because the Torah calls it hadar, a tree that remains living on the branch. Another rabbi said, pri hadar al kol maim. It's a fruit that grows on all forms of water. So there are different proofs that the Gemara brings. How do we know it's an esrog? Elu ha-reayot, these proofs that the Gemara brought, lo hebiyun mipnei shenishtabesh aleihem ha-inyan. They didn't bring these proofs because they were confused. They said, gee, what fruit do we carry on Sukkot? Let's analyze it. Let's figure it out. That's not what happened. Ad shenoda aleihem ha-reayot ha-eileh. They didn't say, well, we'll wait till we can prove it and then we'll know which fruit to take on Sukkot. That's not the case. Aval ra'inu b'lo safek, but we've undoubtedly seen ni Yoshua adata, from the days of Yoshua till now, she'etrog shehayu lokchin malulav b'chol shana v'en bo machloket. Everyone saw, all the generations, that from the time of Yoshua till now, we take an esrog with a lulav. There was no argument. That's what we did every year. Just one second, we'll just finish the thought. Aval chakru al haremez hanimtza v'katuv leze ha'perush hamkuban. But rather what the rabbis were doing in the Gemara was that they were searching for an allusion in the verse that alludes to this tradition that we had. The verse does describe which fruit we should take. So how does the verse mean to single out this fruit? So the rabbis looked for proofs from the verse to, so to speak, support our tradition. But it's not that they had a question, what fruit do we take on Sukkot? Everyone knew you take an esrog on Sukkot. The question was, okay, now how do we find in the verse an allusion to that? Yeah. I don't know of any such thing. Show me where it says they stopped celebrating it. The Mishnah seems to indicate that they celebrated even more. No, the Mishnah says about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's institution that you'd celebrate 7 days out of the temple. And so too, when the rabbis are bringing a proof, what is the hadas? When the Torah says a branch that's enveloped with leaves, how do we know it's a hadas? It's not that they didn't know it's a hadas. They knew the Torah was referring to hadas. They were trying to prove how can we derive it from the verse. But they had on tradition clearly that this is what the hadas is. B'rayatam al dinei avarim be'onesh mamon, and their proofs. How do we know when the Torah says an eye for an eye that it doesn't mean literally but rather money? V'hu ma shechayav mi sheishchit ever me'evrei chavero, to tell us what is a person obligated when he's destroyed a limb of his friend. So the rabbis weren't deriving the law. Everyone agreed that the bottom line was you don't take a limb for a limb. That was the tradition we had, and everyone agreed to that tradition. The only discussion among the rabbis was, where do we find an allusion to this tradition in the verses? And so too, when the rabbis bring proof, how do we know when the Torah says that the daughter of a Kohen that was disfaithful gets a death penalty, it's only referring to the daughter of a Kohen that's a married woman. How do we know that? So the rabbis bring proofs. It's not that they didn't know the law. They knew the law. They had on tradition that that's what the Torah means. But nonetheless, they were looking for allusions from the verses that would indicate this tradition that we have. Mechol adume neze noheg rak al haikar hazeh. And anything similar to this, says the Rambam, is running solely on this principle. even though we find the rabbis searching for sources, we see that the rabbis were all in agreement as to what the bottom line was in these instances, and their search, their quest for sources is just a quest for where does the Torah indicate this concept that we all agree to, that we have on tradition. The Zeinyan, and this is the concept, Mashamru, that our sages taught us, Klaloteha Ufratoteha, that the generalizations and the specifics were giving at Sinai. Ratzuloma, what they meant to say was, Ha'inyanim shenuchal lo'tziyam bichlal ufrat uvishal 13 midot, the different concepts that we could derive from the Torah with klal uprat and the other 13 laws of inference, behem mekubalim mipi Moshe miSinai, and these laws of inference we have on tradition from Moshe from Sinai. V'chulam, and all of these things, afal pi shehem mekubalim mipi Moshe, lo ne'emar behem halacha al Moshe miSinai. These things that we have on tradition, how to understand the Torah, with regard to them, we don't say they are halacha le Moshe miSinai. She'en lomar pri etzadar hu etrog halacha le Moshe miSinai. You can't say, the Torah says, take this fruit, I'll tell you what, it's an etrog, halacha le Moshe miSinai. That's not so. The Torah told you a fruit. We have on tradition, which fruit did the Torah mean? That's not called halacha le Moshe miSinai. Nor would we say that if one damages his friend that he has to pay, but it doesn't, the verse doesn't mean literally an eye for an eye, we wouldn't call that halacha le Moshe miSinai. That's halacha we have on tradition from Moshe. Because we these things we know. We have these explanations from Moshe. They have allusions in the verses. Or else we can derive it with logic, Moshe Amanu, as we've said. And therefore, says the Rambam, when you have something that there's no allusion to this in the verses, nor is it attached to the verses, nor can it be derived logically, only with regard to that, says the Rambam, do we call the halachal Moshe miSinai. So the Rambam just taught us there are two kinds of things we have on tradition from Moshe. There are the things that are connected to the Torah that we can derive or infer from the Torah or from our logic. Those things are on tradition from Moshe from Sinai, but we don't call them halachal Moshe miSinai. Then you have the things like that the straps of the tefillin should be black. Doesn't say it anywhere. Torah hardly discusses straps of tefillin. The Torah simply says, tie the tefillin on your head. So those things that you can't derive from the Torah, there's no inference from the Torah nor from logic, those things that we have on tradition from Moshe, from Sinai, about those we say, they are halacha le Moshe miSinai. Uvishvil ze, and therefore, kshamanu shiurin halacha le Moshe miSinai, our sages have a rule. Whenever it comes to shiurin, measurements, how much does one have to eat of matzah on Pesach? Torah says, eat matzah on Pesach, how much? How much does one have to eat in order to be obligated to say bracha chona? Torah says, we must bench afterwards, how much? The different measurements of volume, of area, of space, of time, those we say are all on tradition from Moshe from Sinai. Hikshu aleinu. So right away the Gemara asks, how can you say that the measurements are on tradition? V'amru, and the Gemara says, Mipnei mato Moshe halachal Moshe miSinai. Why do you say they're on halachal Moshe miSinai? V'inei shurin nilmaz aleim v'pasuk. We have an allusion to these concepts in the verse. When the Torah says, Be'omro, Eretz chita us'ora v'gefen utena v'rimon Eretz zeit shemen udvash. When the Torah describes the different fruits and grains that the land of Israel was blessed with, so we say those are all, though each of these fruits can be used as a measurement for laws in the Torah, right? We say, now what's chita? Chita, you make bread with chita, you make bread with wheat. Kedei achilat pras. What's how do we measure time? Sometimes we say you have to eat a certain volume within a certain amount of time in order for it to constitute eating. So it says you may not eat non-kosher. Well, what happens if I take one kernel of pig's fat and eat it, and 10 minutes later another kernel of pig's fat and eat it? And I do this all day. So that's biblically prohibited. But I don't have to bring a sacrifice because I did not technically eat it. Eating is defined as eating the volume of a kezias, the volume of an olive, in the amount of time that it takes to eat half a loaf of bread made of wheat. El tzchita, land of wheat. From there we derive, so we infer, our sages say,
We have on tradition Halacha Mishem Sinai. The Gemara says, why do you need Halacha Mishem Sinai? The Torah praises the land of Israel and says it's a land of wheat and barley and grapes, etc. And each one of these things are used as part of a measurement. So couldn't we infer it from that verse? Tiyat Shuvas, the Gemara answers, Halacha Mishem Sinai. Really, these measurements are on tradition from Moshe from Sinai. And really, there was no way that you could logically derive what would be the measurements. You want to derive what's the measurement of eating that constitutes eating biblically. You can't derive that logically. And in truth, there's nowhere in the Torah that they are alluded to. But rather, we align these measurements with this verse to help us remember. We make a sign, but that's not really an asmachta. The verse doesn't really indicate this concept. When the verse says the land is blessed with wheat, to go from that word, the land is blessed with wheat, to say from the wheat I'll make bread. When I make bread, I'll make a loaf of the volume of 8 eggs. When I cut that loaf into half, and I have half of a loaf that's the volume of 4 eggs, and I eat that loaf, that's the measurement of time that one has to eat a kezias in order to constitute eating, that's very far-fetched, right? So that's what the Rambam says. That's not called an asmachta. That's called a siman. We made a sign. We said, you want to know how to figure out the different measurements of time that we have on tradition from Moshe from Sinai, look at this verse. And if you know the laws, then this could be a sign to remember them. So it should be, they made the sign, so it should be known and remembered. But that's not something that the verse is really discussing. And that's why our sages say, Kra asmachta ve'alma. That verse is a low-level leaning. Bechol makom sheizkiruah, wherever our sages say that. So, what do we see today? The Rambam taught us that Rebbe gathered the different opinions, the different things to compose the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to encompass all of Torah Shabbat there, be it the things we have on tradition from Moshe, be it the things that our rabbis derived and everyone agreed on, or the things our rabbis derived and there were arguments about. And then the Rambam said that Rebbe purposely included the minority opinion, even though we don't rule like the minority opinion, and the Rambam still owes us to explain why. And the Rambam says, but first he wants to explain us a fundamental principle, and that is that the explanations of the Torah are on tradition, and you'll never find an argument about the explanations we have on tradition from Moshe from Sinai. Be it Halacha Moshem Sinai, or the explanations of the Torah that go back to Moshe and Sinai. And when we do find the rabbis discussing how we understand the verse, we'll notice that they're all reaching the same conclusion. The question is, how do you get there? So they want to say, where in the verse do we see an allusion to this concept that we had on tradition? And the Rambam gave us many examples. The Rambam said, the traditions we have from Moshe, from Sinai, break down to two types of tradition. Those traditions which have some inference from the verse, and those are not called Halacha Moshem Sinai, and then those traditions which cannot be inferred at all from the verses, but we have them solely based on the tradition from Moshe from Sinai, and those are called Halacha Moshem Sinai.
What exactly means Quran Asmachta Be'alma?
The Gemara questions over there in Brachot. The Gemara says the verse does say Eretz Chita Usorah Begefnu Tenav Rimon. And then one of the rabbis said, "Kol apasuk hazeh." This whole verse indicates the different measurements. So the Gemara says, Rav Chanan over there says, the whole verse is applicable to the different. This verse alludes to the different measurements of the Torah. So how come we say the measurements are all on tradition? You have a verse that's an allusion. So the Gemara answers, no. Kra, that verse, asmachta ve'alma, is a low level leaning. It's not that it's really an asmachta. It's not that you really can say that, yeah, we have this verse, and this verse is some form of indication to the shiur. No, the Gemara says. That's not so. The Kra is a low-level asmachta. But rather, all the shiur are halacha Moshe Sinai.